Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
That's the worst bumper music in the history of the world. That's not the Phil Hendry show. God bless Teddy Pendergrass. Turn that crap off. Don't ever play that again. Okay? When we get our, I know that Dan Northcraft is on vacation. We got Neil. Neil's a great guy. Neil has not been brought up to speed on how things, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but that is just a major, major, major. You know that fireworks display that went off in San Diego?
Yeah, man. You see it? It looked like the Death Star.
Yeah, well, that was, bumper music, that was our Death Star.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. I don't ever want to hear that. Get that, what do you mean that's in my rack? Who in there, get it out of there, man. Don't ever play it again. Get everything out of that rack that is anything. I don't know whose that is. I don't know who carted that garbage up. It's fine to listen to if I was a 45-year-old chick. Excuse me, folks, for, being that, rude. But I don't ever want to hear that again. I mean, we only do rock. You know, there was a... Well, I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. All right, our number is 877... Thank you very much, Neil. 877-876-7445. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we'll just have to recover. I mean, I never thought that a Teddy Pendergrass record would hit me in the gut like that.
You just got to move on.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll move on. Last night on our show, Bobby and Steve Dooley were on talking about Far West Cryogenic Laboratories, and... That was only something we could carry for so long because we had other problems happening last night. So we're going to bring them back, and they're going to be with us here in a moment to discuss this fertility clinic, this fertility lab that they support, that does not inform the women of the race of the donor. Simply, they inform women of the overall health of the sperm donors. Our number 877-876-7445. Reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where you can get live streaming video of our show right now. If you go over and get a backstage pass, you'll get thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio from over a decade of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We have a video archive, not only of the current show we're doing, we have a video archive of the full year of shows we did locally on Saturday night here in Los Angeles. We have other archived video appearances, TV pilots, TV interviews, radio interviews. We've got we're all about media on our website. That's what a radio website is supposed to be about. That's what a radio show website is supposed to be about. It ain't about pictures of chicks in wet T-shirt contests, which I'm completely a fan of. Don't get me wrong, but I figure I got a radio show. I think maybe you want to hear me, so... That's what we're about, and as a result, we have more audio and we have more media on our site than any other single radio show in the world. So head over and get a backstage pass at philhendryradio.com, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. All right. 877-876-7445. So this entire discussion that I had with the Dooleys last night started really with a discussion of a woman who was suing a fertility lab. Because she didn't want to have to go through she was actually suing the federal government, and I think it has to do with insurance and the relative insurance coverage that you get when it comes to this kind of thing. And she didn't want to have to use the lab at all. She wanted to use a private donor and an individual that she knows. I don't know how that stuff works. Bobby and Steve Dooley back on the line with us. Do you know the story I'm talking about, Ms. Dooley?
I've heard a little bit about it, Phil. I think that we're about feminism, and we're about the equality of women. I'd have to look at that story to see if that woman is acting in a way that I think we could say is supportive of other women, as well as representative of the kind of egalitarian health service and health provision that we'd all like to see.
All right. And you mentioned that last night. Now, so that takes us to a discussion of the fertility clinic that you support. This place, Far West Cryogenics, is a place where women can go and find the support, the medical support and fertility service that they desire on this egalitarian sort of plane or paradigm that you're talking about. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Well, yeah, Phil, you know, it's always better, and I think you've got a pretty good grasp of what we do, but there's more to it than just that. When women come to us, and when they come to our lab, and they are seeking our fertility services, we tell them that our sperm donors are healthy men between the ages of 20 and 30. They're not only very healthy, and they are screened for the obvious health risks by way of screening the blood. We also do a limited genome look at their genetic history to see if there is any outstanding or acute kind of gene or genetic traits that may cause health problems. There are also men who are structurally, in terms of just the overall symmetry, the physiognomy and the physiology of the men, they're very well put together men, strong men, good bone structure, etc.
You know, you're not screening out for how handsome they are you?
No, we are not, Phil. We don't go into that kind of an aesthetic judgment. And that's why we do not go into the aesthetic judgment of race. And we will not tell the women the race of the donor. We simply say this is the overall state. These are men who are of this age. These are men who are of this physical health.
And all right. Now, when you have a woman asking you, as you have said to us, you said to us last night, what is the race of the donor? You then refer these women to some kind of counseling.
Well, Phil, it's not some kind of, and here's where my husband Steve could take over and be a little bit more descriptive. Steve?
Yeah, Mr. Donor,
this is Steve Dooley. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good.
We tell women, if a woman asks, what's the race, right away we got a red flag will go out, because to us that means she's more concerned about a race than she is about the health and everything.
Now, why does that mean you think she's more concerned about the race?
Well, because we already told her everything she needed to know. Now she wants to know about a race. And because of the feminism and feministic views of, that we got, we don't think it's right.
What we're basically saying is, as feminists, we believe in the egalitarian and equal approach to health care provision. And it's completely irrelevant as to race.
All right. And people were bringing this up, and maybe it's not fair of me to, but people were saying last night it very much is a real thing, because the history of America racially, given the social reality of our country and everything else, I mean, come on, the economic and social and in terms of equal rights, in terms of just the treatment of people in our country, particularly black people, because of the color of their skin, why wouldn't that be a factor that someone would want to take into consideration?
Well, Phil, can I say something? Yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Henry, by you saying what you just said, you just gave the people that are listening, you know, and are, see, most people don't even say that. They're not smart enough.
I think that's a good point. Steve is saying, Phil, that the people listening tonight just heard you give them their argument.
Well, are you saying that they wouldn't have thought of that themselves? Are you saying?
Well, I'm saying that they would not have been able to articulate it.
You're saying that they wouldn't have been able to articulate it. You're saying that people, that isn't in their mind?
Well, it may be in their minds, Mr. Henry, but you know as well as I do that people that call these talk programs do not articulate their point as well as the host. And by you now articulating that, you're going to have people calling in and sort of monkey see, monkey doing it. And because we are...
Well, that's a pretty... That's not a very... I don't think it's a very high opinion you have of your fellow man here, you know.
Well, Mr. Henry, come on. We're not talking about fellow man. You know, you just said something there that most people are...
A lot of people are not going to articulate it the way that you did. And what we're able to say to them is, look, we're egalitarian. We're not about monkey see, monkey doing it. And when people call in and repeat the argument you just gave them, now we're monkey see and monkey doing. And to us, that's intellectually dishonest.
Our number is, intellectually dishonest. That's always a great phrase. Our number is 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. If you're a woman and you wanted to use a fertility clinic and you were interested in knowing the race of the donor, what would be your reasons for that so that I'm not putting words into your mouth? Why would you be interested in knowing what the race of the donor is? 877-876-7445. And I'm not trying to limit you guys to your responses. I think I'm trying to be fair here to the Dooleys. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
To the monkeys, yeah.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I just think it's interesting. Welcome back, 877-876-PHIL, talking with Bobby and Steve Dooley, who are supporters of the Far West Cryogenic Lab, a fertility clinic. There was a story yesterday, one woman suing the federal government over health care. She wants to use her own donors. I think you guys are opposed to that, right?
We are, Phil, because we do believe that women need to support women. But the way that women should support women is not this monkey see, monkey do.
Well, you're saying monkey see, monkey. All I'm asking you is this: if a woman is not told by you the race of the donor, and she asks you because she's interested because of the social reality of our country.
Well, if you ask the average white person, there is no racial problem in America. Most white people think that black people overreact, you know? So why would they care whether they're having a black baby or not, you know?
Yeah, I didn't think of that. That's a really good point.
Yeah, you know? Think about that. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that what you're saying is true, that most white people don't think there's a race problem.
Well, if you ask a lot of white people, they'll say, well, there's no race problem. It's all in the minds of black people. So why would they mind having a black baby? That's what our egalitarian model and our egalitarian women-first principle is all about. When you come to our fertility clinic, we will tell you the health and the relative strength of the sperm donor, but we don't need to tell you the race because there is no race problem.
Well, and if it's a black mother?
Well, if it's a black mother, then why would she mind if the donor is white, you know?
Yeah, only going to be better, you know.
But I really categorically reject your statement, Mr. Henry, that it's, you know, that it's not monkey seeing, monkey doing.
Well, okay, 877-876-PHIL. No, I don't think it is. I think it's a legitimate question that a mother of either race would have. Let's go to Daryl on the Phil Henry Show. Daryl, you're on with Bobby and Steve Dooley. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I am totally taken aback by this couple's disposition.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
most recent being you saying, and I mm-hmm. matter of fact, by the way, I am an African American man,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
particularly in this age of Obama, I have had
mm-hmm.
a myriad of conversations with many
mm-hmm.
of my white. With many of my white neighbors, colleagues,
uh-huh.
my white neighbors and colleagues, and they
uh-huh.
unanimously concur that there
uh-huh.
absolutely is a race issue in America. So I don't know what America you're in, and I don't know who you talk with, and I'm not trying to be divisive here,
uh-huh.
but
uh-huh.
but to think or to even imply that the race issue is no longer an issue in America, that's
oh, no.
not accurate.
No, 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 I didn't say that.
No,
I didn't say that. I didn't say, I said that to a lot of whites.
All right, let's let the gentleman finish his call, Ms. Dooley. You can follow up.
And mm-hmm. specifically, and I interact with a lot of ethnic ethnicities, and so I specifically was responding to the fact that there are a lot of white people who feel that there is a race issue. That's the first thing. The second
okay.
thing is
Eastern European.
What does that mean, Eastern European?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. Do you interact with whites of Eastern European or Balkan origin?
Listen, what difference does it make? I have absolutely no idea where they are from. All I know is when I'm speaking with white people, the white people that I've spoken with. But anyway, that's the first point. The second point I want to make is I think that when it comes to a client coming into your facility and they ask about the race of the donor, I think that it is a highly valid question, because if you're a white woman who wants to have a white baby, or a black woman that wants to have a black baby, or an Asian woman who wants to have an Asian baby, that sperm donor's DNA is extremely significant, and it is extremely relevant to the race of the baby that you would want to have. I don't think that makes the customer a racist. I would want to have a baby that looks like me, or that looks like them. So anyway, that's all I want to say tonight.
That's
all
the ego trip.
It has absolutely nothing to do with ego. That has to do with listen, if you didn't want a baby that looked like you, then you would just go out and adopt a baby. The reason why you want your
Well, anyway, what you're getting with a baby that you carry is you are getting at least your genes, the relative health. You have your family's bloodline. But you don't necessarily have to fixate, and this is what I think is wrong with our country, fixate on race.
Well, can I say something? Can I say something here?
It's a preference and an option. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I want to just say this. You know, Ms. Dooley, you're sort of making a decision for these people. You're saying, well, this is not important.
Well, yes, that's what we're saying. And
but you're not really pointing it out to people, and some women are getting tricked.
No, I absolutely disagree.
Well, they are, because they're suddenly pregnant. They're like, I didn't even ask about the race of this kid. Or if they ask about the race, you've got them going into counseling, and I think you've got them believing that there's something wrong with them.
Well, Mr. Ernie, in a lot of ways, this gentleman's a very intelligent man, but in a lot of ways there is.
But you haven't made your... What is wrong with someone wanting to know the race of a baby?
I think, given the fact that you gave everybody their argument, Mr. Hendry...
Well, listen, let me say this. He didn't give me my argument. When I heard you make the statement, I immediately was in complete disagreement with that, because when you deny disclosing the race to a person who is not a racist, I'm not speaking to feeding into any of those kinds of issues. What I'm simply saying that if you are, whatever your ethnicity are, most people would want to conceive and bear a child that is of that ethnic background. And
that's kind of weird.
Why is that weird?
Why is that weird? Okay, you know what? Let me say this. And let me say this. And
weird.
I will. Please let me say
America.
This. Let me say this.
Let America.
Okay,
ahead,
let me say this. Please let me say this, and then I'm going to release the line. I'll just listen on the radio. I feel that the two of you, I think that you all are very intelligent people, and because I believe that you're intelligent people, I feel that you all are just wanting to push an issue, because for you to not understand why a person would want to know the race of the donor is just as valid and legitimate as wanting to know the health background.
You're right, Daryl. I know that it's important to a lot of people, but what we're saying is it shouldn't be.
Yeah, we're looking to a better America.
We're looking to a better America. And
you know, that's a real nice platitude, and I think we're all looking to a better America, you know, but the reality is the reality.
We believe in Obama's America. And
well, another platitude, but the reality is the reality, and boy, I'll tell you... You know, people. Daryl, thank you for your call, sir. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I think you are not giving people credit where credit is due.
Well, Mr. Hendry,
It's a very confusing thing when you say that we're wrong for not telling people the race of the baby daddy, or however you want to say that, and we say, well, no, they don't need to, and you say, yes, they do, and here's why, See, what you're doing right there is you're giving them their argument, and it's a monkey see and monkey doing. And
okay, I get it about monkey see and monkey doing. But again, I think you are short selling or underselling or under evaluating or, you know, under appreciating the American people and their ability to see the world around them, and why they want to know the race of that baby and the race of the baby's father is because race is an issue. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, what about the monkey?
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up in our next hour, Dr. Ron Tarner joins us to talk about the sexting of pictures by teenagers. Also, we're online at philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of our show, as well as an audio archive that is thousands and thousands of hours. If you'd like to join us every night with our video cast, you can at philhenryshow.com. On the line is Bobby and Steve Dooley. They were with us last night talking about the fertility clinic that they support, which is the Far West, Ms. Dooley?
Yes, it's the Far West cryogenic laboratory. I wanted to say one thing about my husband, Steve. Steve is a wonderful man. I know that a lot of people are having a hard time hearing him. He's making some very good points, and I think that people are missing the point that we're making, which is simply this, Phil. When I say to you that most people are not concerned with or should not be concerned with the race of the donor, I'm simply reacting to the people that I've heard who are white and will say, oh, well, there's no race problem. Now, I certainly understand what the other gentleman said, that he's talked to white people. I don't know if he's talked to people that are from the Balkan states. I don't know if he's talked to people that are of Bulgarian or of Romanian extraction.
What difference does that make?
Well, those people generally come from the most hideous. I don't know if you're familiar, but the Bulgarian and Romanian and Balkan societies are absolutely hideous. Coming here to this country for those people is like coming to heaven. It's like coming to paradise. So I don't know if he's ever talked to the Bulgarian or the Croatian or the Slovenian. And so, Phil, that's why I say this monkey seeing, monkey doing.
Where I gave people their argument. No, I don't hear that. Let's get to some calls, though. 877-876-7445. We have a gentleman on the line here who wants to talk to the Dooleys. Paul, but I just locked up Paul. Paul, you there?
Yes,
Paul?
I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air, sir.
Are these people the Dooleys?
Mm-hmm. My name is Bobby.
I think you are a couple of insane people, okay? First of all,
I'm sorry you
forget,
feel that way.
Forget race. Just think
mm-hmm.
about, think of it in
mm-hmm.
terms of clans, and I would recommend to you Clan of the Cave Bear.
Mm.
People
What's
are
that?
Clannish by nature. That's just their nature. You cannot change that.
What
I've got
clan?
People in my own family who are not all white, even though I am a white man. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They are not.
Mm-hmm.
Please,
mm-hmm.
let me speak.
Yes,
they
sir.
Are not all white, and I feel sorry for those people because I see what goes on around, like it's a family reunion or something like that. Nobody's cruel to them, but they are excluded.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot exclude mm-hmm. that from your calculations when you go to take people in who are going to be donors
but
to your
do
program.
You, do,
you
Paul,
must
to,
let. Excuse me, ma'am.
What do you do for those
you,
family members? Do you do
ma'am,
anything to help
ma'am,
them?
Ma'am, excuse me, ma'am. You must
well,
let people know
the
race of the
child,
and that goes for all cultures. Everybody has their own culture. You cannot exclude
mm-hmm.
it. And by the way, Phil, that was great mm-hmm. what you did to George Norris.
George Norris. What I did to George Norris? I don't know. 877. George Norrie? I didn't do anything to George Norrie that George hasn't done to himself. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Seth. Go ahead, Seth. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
the whole controversy with what
you were
saying.
Can I say something about the last man? He says that his people are treated bad. Why doesn't he treat them good himself? But he doesn't.
Who, the last caller?
Yes, he said that his family members were treated bad.
Okay, anyway, go ahead, Seth.
Okay. So the controversy is that you two are acting as if you are the most intelligent beings on Earth, thinking that we can create our own arguments by saying that it's all monkey see and monkey do. And you know, as soon as I heard you guys
Brought it up until Mr. Henry did.
Oh, no, but see, that's the thing, is you're the only person talking to him at the time, and he's the only person talking to you. So, obviously, nobody else can bring it up until the caller's call.
Oh, my God, what's with this phone?
Your phone's breaking up, Seth. Hold on, Seth, I got to put you on hold because your phone's breaking up pretty bad. I will get back to you, man, so don't worry about it. Let me go to Kimberly. Kimberly, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Doing. I'm going to tell you one thing. Hello. I'm going to need her to not do is all that while I'm trying to get my point across. So if you could just hold your breath for a minute, and that would be
what
a good
that?
Thing, actually, for all of the society.
Well, she's talking really fast. I didn't hear.
She's asking you not to go,
Well, I didn't hear. Yeah. She's talking really fast, but I didn't understand. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Is that something dumb people do? Who have their opinions and
No, you're going like this. You're going, and I can't understand anything you're saying. I'm sorry. I'll just...
Why don't you slow your brain down and stop trying to think about how you're going to respond to what everybody is saying, and don't harm me, lady. Just quiet your mouth and listen to me.
I don't have to do that.
My decision.
It's pretty easy.
You do have to. See, you can't even get a point across to us.
Yeah. Ms. Dooley, just let the lady talk. All right. Let me just say this. Just let her get her point out, Bobby, and you will have an opportunity.
That's fine. I just don't need her. She's going blah, 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 blah.
Okay, fine. Now go ahead. Ma'am, go ahead, Kimberly.
Oddly enough, I feel the same way about her. That's all I have heard was blah, 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 blah. She has no right to make a decision for me as to what I want my child to be. I'm sorry, I'm traveling across the country. I was in a dead sleep. Our radio show went off, and my husband asked me to find another one, and I stumbled onto this one, and I was so furious it woke me up out of a dead sleep. How in the world are you going to condemn another country like the Croatians? I was former military and a former military broadcaster. I have been all over the country, all over the world. I have seen a lot of good countries and a lot of
people. You're
not
familiar with the Bulgarian. I said the Bulgarian. You're not familiar with them?
You said Croatian.
It is a hideous. Yes, it's a hideous world that they come
race,
from.
Hideous? And then tell
they're
me
not
that
a race.
Matter?
Oh, my God. They're not a race. It's a nationality. Oh, my God.
It's
they're
a
white.
It's also a race.
No, it is not. It's white. It's the same as us. Oh, my God.
You're telling me that I'm stupid?
Oh, my God. You're telling me I'm stupid.
I am.
You're way stupider.
Okay, let's not call each other names.
Well, first of all, stupider than me.
So here we go again with his
Whatever.
The point is, I get to make a decision as to what I want. If I want an Asian baby, I'm going to ask you, is my daughter Asian? If I want a black baby, I'm going to ask you, is he black? If I want a Bulgarian baby, I'm going to ask you, is my Bulgarian donor Bulgarian? That's my decision.
What?
How dare you and your husband, and you know what, frankly, you and your husband are going to produce that kind of child because you two have worked together to make each other who you are today. I choose to be with my white husband.
You must not be a feminist. You must not be a feminist because this is all about being feminine, or not feminine, but being a feminist and being equal.
That's exactly what this is about.
I believe in my femininity, and I believe in my womanhood, and I believe in my conservatism, and I believe in my Christianity. And what you are doing is none of those things. What you are doing is repulsive, and it's decisive, and it's... I can't even think of words.
My goodness, Kimberly, all we're trying to do is to get you and other people like you to accept that there are other colored people, you know. And when you have a baby, not to have a cow because it came out black. And that's what's going on, you know?
Well, you know,
you know what I mean?
You're going to force out the children that they don't want. You know what's going to happen? You're going to force to give those children away or to hurt those children because they ended up being made fun of. You've got a lot of sick people out there. You happen to be two of them, and you're not up in society.
You know that I could find
I could find Bulgarian people that would be happy to have a black child because they're so happy to be in America, the Bulgarian is, that they would have a black child no problem. But you, you're so spoiled. You're spoiled.
Oh, I'm spoiled.
Yeah,
you're spoiled. I served in the United States military. I have been to Bosnia-Herzegovina. I have seen other countries in war-torn areas trying to survive.
Oh, my God, that doesn't even exist.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about, lady.
So, in other words, you served in a made-up country. I'm sorry, I'm not that stupid. And
what are you talking about, a made-up country?
What was the name of that country, she said?
Bosnia-Herzegovina. It was a part of the old Yugoslavia.
Oh, you know something? We came on this program to talk seriously about the need for white mothers to lighten up, if you'll pardon the expression, and now Kimberly calls up. And she's all, oh, I know Bulgarians and stuff. All we're trying to do is get women to lighten up and have a healthy baby and be more femininity.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even...
What does that mean? What does that mean? Oh, my gosh.
What you just said there, Ms. Dooley, was not...
What?
There are certain races, certain... aspects of African-American children, African-American race, mixed with white races, does cause its own little certain gene differences. You can cause other diseases. So you're not, it's not about the health. It's about you wanting to make this a colorless society.
Oh,
you don't get that
God,
right, lady.
Finally,
God created
finally
people
got
of
it
color
said.
For their finally, reason.
You finally got it said. That white people and black people together would make some kind of a creature. Oh, my God.
I did not say that.
She didn't say that.
Well, that's what she's intimating.
That is not what I'm intimating. Any more than I'm going to allow you to intimate that a colorless society is a good and healthy way for a feminist to act. Do you even know
what you mean? Are you kidding? Are you serious?
Yeah,
are you for real? I have three sons. All beautiful white boys.
Great,
yes.
They're going to propagate, and that's going to be detrimental to society.
Oh, make fun of children, why don't you?
Sure,
I'm fine
with
make fun of our
I
kids.
I can't argue with the point of
okay.
anymore.
You know,
well, you're the one that said that the black people and white people, that children...
I had a really opinion of what you said. I was already going down that road when you said it. You didn't put it in my head. I don't need you to speak for me, but you said it very eloquently. That woman ain't going to listen to you. But keep on keeping it a good sight.
But
thank you very, very much, Kimberly, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show. And, you know, Ms. Dooley.
Well, you let her, she wanted to keep talking to me, but you let her get away. Because,
No, I think she made her point, and she moved on. But we have to make our point and move on.
What does that mean? Are you going to hang up with me again?
Hold on, I got to take a commercial break. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more on the fertility lab that they are principals in, that they are business partners in, that does not inform the mothers of one very crucial piece of information. What is the race? What is the race of the sperm donor? 877-876-7445, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. We have Dr. Ron Tarner coming up next hour. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we have the Dooleys on the line, and you have you obviously got a lot of people angry at you.
Well, Phil, it does not surprise me, given the feminism that we talk about. And
the equality.
The equality of women. And
give this to me again, how this is about equality of women.
Give it to you again, how it's about the equality of women. All right.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean that to sound disrespectful.
Well, I think it was, and I think I know that that's really your stand, but that's okay.
All right. I'm sorry, Ms. Dooley. But tell me again how this is about women's equality.
It's about the equality of women, Phil, because it's about the equality of people. And it's about the equality of people because it's about a healthy child, a healthy sperm donor, taking care of the health of the mother, and getting some example, yes, getting some example, yes, from the Bulgarian and the Slovenians. And
what is it with the Bulgarians and the Slovenians that I'm missing here? Are they an example of...
They are an example of exemplary whites that come from the most disgusting and deplorable societies known to the human race, come to this country and luxuriate and celebrate the American way. And if I say to them, yes, we'll give you a healthy donor, and they say, by the way, what race? And I say to them, we're going to have to put you in counseling for that. You know what they say to me? They say, never mind. We're happy with whatever race.
Well, that's a far cry, Ms. Dooley, from not being concerned. That sounds like people, you know...
Why is that?
Well, that just sounds like people to me that are scared. They come from a former totalitarian system. Now they come from these systems that are just are finding their way, and they're very violent, and they probably don't want to say anything that'll run afoul of the authority, which in this case is you. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Seth, who is hanging on very patiently, and I think we got a better sell for Seth. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay. So earlier you were saying that you support Obama Nation, and I could tell that right away
from
everything that you've been saying, because the fact that for you to sit there and feel that you can choose without even knowing what the race is for these women for when they want to have a child, that's equivalent to the new Obama health care system that we have going on. They choose what health care and what we pay and stuff like that, and if we don't want it, then we get fined for it.
You don't even understand what the... You don't even get it. Well, you don't even get it.
No, I do get it completely.
You don't get the Obama health plan at all.
Obama.
The Obama, yeah.
Obama,
you don't.
Okay.
You don't understand it at all. You can pick, if you can afford your own... You're so... forget it.
Will you let the man talk, please?
Yeah, seriously. You haven't been letting anybody talk because you're too busy going, and then interrupting.
Well, you don't know about Obama.
Mr. Dooley, go on, Seth.
Okay, all right. So for you guys to think that you can choose for these people and then to sit there and mentally and emotionally punish them and make them feel like bad people for wanting to know what race it is. Maybe they want a certain race, and they want to make sure that that's what it's going to come out as. It doesn't matter if it's a white woman wanting a black kid or an Asian kid or something like that. You know, and to say there is no racial issue in this nation is still young. There is still a big racial issue. And obviously, you guys are living in a very liberal society to where everyone is accepting everyone, and there's a bunch of gray people. They don't see black or white.
No, okay? I didn't say that. I said the whites that I talk to. The whites that I talk to have got a problem with race. And that's why Bulgarians...
All right, let's get off Bulgarians and let's talk about Americans, okay?
We are in America... We are in America, not Bulgaria.
We have a lot to learn from the Slovenian.
That's their problem for coming over to the nation and then getting scared by your tactic of, well, you need counseling.
What do you mean?
This gentleman's making a good point. Those people come over here, they hear you say you got to go into counseling because you asked the race, and they get freaked out because they're coming from some former totalitarian system. They don't want to talk about it.
See what I mean, Mr. Henry? You just gave this man his monkey theism.
No,
see,
I didn't.
That's what I was saying earlier before I started to lose perception. You think that you are the smartest person in the world to think that I can't come up with my own argument?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insulting to me as a human.
I don't mean to insult you. I don't mean to insult you.
Well, you just did, regardless, by saying that...
Well, how do I know how smart you are? How do I know? Maybe I don't know who you are. It could very well be that you've got a low IQ. I don't know. How am I supposed to know?
But see, that's insulting to take that assumption. That's like saying that all black people like KFC and cigarettes.
Yeah, you're
45.
But you know that a lot of white people are sort of how do I say this without being offensive, inbred, I guess, or
okay, here we go. You want an egalitarian society, and you want a race-free society, and you are coming up with every stereotype.
Well, you know that a lot of rural... We're talking about rural whites, not every white.
Not Bulgarians.
Well, Mr. Wright, you're saying Bulgarian like it's bad.
Well, you guys have come in here with this Bulgarian-Slovenian thing, man, right out of left field. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
You're talking about a race, a colorblind society, or a society free of racism, and yet you have brought up every stereotype. Now we've got whites that are inbred and dumb.
I don't know how smart anybody is before they call your show. I'm not a mind reader. So this man says he's insulted. Well, I'm sorry.
That they're inbred.
I'm just simply saying to you, I don't know if you're using that argument as your monkey see, monkey do-ism. You see? Hello?
Okay. Yes. Thank you, Seth, for your call. And we got to take a break, and we got to move on. We appreciate the Dooleys joining us as ever. Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, I don't know what to say to you other than a moment there I felt like I was going to faint, and I thought it was because I hadn't had anything to eat. I think it's just you two.
Oh, why? Do we smell or something?
Yeah, there's a smell coming through the phone.
Because we did jog earlier, and we haven't showered, and I haven't taken care of certain, I shouldn't say this, but certain feminine needs, and so it is pretty rank. But the point...
Oh, get out of here. We'll be right back with Dr. Ron Tarner, Phil Henry Show.
Did you just hang up on me?
No.
Well, as I was saying...
Phil Henry.
It is pretty ripe.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We're online here at philhenryshow.com. We're across the country on all kinds of marvelous radio stations all over the place. It's great for you to join us. And our radio show is, I don't think there's ever been a radio show where it is more truly said that in order for you to really grasp what we're doing here, you need to give us a little bit of time. Not that I'm, time is money to you guys, so I understand. But, this is a very different thing that's going on here. I don't know.
Sure is.
All right. Dr. Ron Tarner is going to join us this hour. We're going to talk about a rather disturbing trend, I think, and that is the sexting. That is the sending of sexual messages or pictures by teens. 1 in 4 teens, according to a study, does this. And, you know, we've talked on our show before about how kids have been sexualized at an early age, and all it does is rob a kid of their childhood. You know, they've got their whole life to do adult stuff, and you've only got a few years to be a kid. And, the adults that enable children in this sexualization, those people ought to be taken out and run over with a variety of different cars, you know.
Not just one car?
No, not just one car. Maybe a truck, then a car, then another car.
What about that toddler thing?
The toddlers and tiaras, I mean, I'm glad that channel, whatever the hell it is, A&E, whoever does, I'm glad that's a public service to show you what kind of freaks, what kind of sick freaks we got out there for parents, man. All right, 877-876, and that's my opinion. That's just the way it goes. You don't have to agree, and I get it. 877-876-7445. What did I just say? 877-876-7445. Yeah, that's our number. Ron?
Hey, Phil, if you want, I've got it written down, so please.
No, I thank you very much, Ron. I'm sorry. I just sort of, I spaced.
Well, I can certainly understand that. You're talking to the right guy.
I am talking to the right guy. Dr. Ron Tarner is an astronomer. He works at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Coverdale, Colorado. He's also at times a middle school and high school teacher. And we thank you for joining us, Ron. We usually have Vernon Dozier or one of our other educators on. We thank you for joining us here on this Friday night.
Well, it's my pleasure, Phil, and it is an issue that we're becoming more and more familiar with. I do an awful lot of substituting, although this year I have been hired full time at the Destry High School in Denver, which is a magnet school. It is a school for gifted kids, So I had been working there continuously over this last season.
Are you teaching summer school?
I was going to say that we did do a session of summer school as well. That's correct.
All right. The story here is about teenagers sexting. More than a quarter of American teenagers send nude photos of themselves electronically, and those who engaged in sexting were almost twice as likely as their peers to have had sex. About half of almost 1,000 students aged 14 to 19 from 7 public high schools in Texas said they had been asked to send a naked photo electronically, according to a study published in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine. Another third reported asking someone else to send them a nude picture. So you're familiar with this?
We are familiar with it, Phil, and to the extent that as teachers we can control it, and to the extent that as administrators it can be controlled, we do that. There is a obvious problem that young people are sending these pictures to each other. You made the point of the sexualization of our young people, and I agree. It's out of control. We also have the problems of trust between teachers and between students. How do you talk to a student about this? Do you have the trust of a student when it comes to this particular issue? And there is no clearer indication of whether you have the trust of a student when it comes to this particular topic, then is that student willing to open up to you about something like this? You also have to ask yourself, and I ask myself this question, what respect or trust does the student have for me individually or in particular? And this is an issue that has made it very clear. And it's a tough thing to admit. I don't have the trust of my students.
What would indicate to you that you have that? Do the kids not talk to you? Do they not?
I think the most ready example of whether we have this trust is if they're sending these pictures of themselves to other students and other kids, and you have trust with that student, so that they see you as someone they could confide in, then you would expect that at some point these pictures would come to you as a teacher. Now, I'm not saying that I want them for prurient reasons. That's got nothing to do with it. But if there is the trust between you and the student, then at some point you would expect to see one or two of these in your inbox. And throughout the entire school year, as you open up your email and you are looking to see what communications you have from parents, what communications you have from the administration. We don't encourage students to email us directly because I would rather not have any exclusive email communication with students that their parents are not aware of. But by the same token, if you want the trust of a student,
a student, you expect the student would mail you these pictures.
You at some level, yes. At some, not again. This has got nothing to do with periods. It is a trust issue.
So, how do you open up these lines of communication? I'm not so sure it's a good thing, though, to get these pictures.
Well, let me tell you what I did, and what some of the teachers here at Destry did. I had a closed door meeting with our senior girls. And it was strictly with the female students of our senior class. And I sat down and I had a heart-to-heart. I told them, we had set out the notice that this would be a closed-door meeting between myself, Dr. Masters, and the senior class girls. And let's just get this on the table and ask, well, what's going on? Do you trust us or don't you? Now, what I did say was that if we receive, if as a female or whatever, and I know that this is very touchy, Phil.
I'll say it's touchy. You're a male student. You're a male teacher asking for these emails.
No. I just said if you are reluctant. No, hold on for a minute, Phil. I said if you are reluctant to send to us these pictures that you are sending to other students, these the nude shots, then. Let us
assure you that, and because you do trust us, or you don't trust us, let us assure you you can. Those pictures would go into a folder, which I would call the trust folder, and we would not look at them, nor would we email them out, nor would we share them. Is that the situation? That's what we said. Is that the story? And I kind of got the feeling that it was.
How did you get the feeling that it was?
Well, the girls just sort of stared at us, and I could tell that it was one of those, they were giving us that look of, you nailed it. You know, we can't really come out and say anything about it.
How do you know they were not saying anything about it? Because they were a little bit taken aback.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that. And later on, I had I went out to dinner with Jack Masters, who's one of our senior class advisors, and we had a couple of drinks. And I asked him, I said, "What did you get from that?" And he said, "I think they were giving us the sort of the unspoken signal that yes, we're down with that." You know, using the young people vernacular.
But they didn't come right out and say it.
Well, I think it's something that you're not going to come out and say, because then the word gets out, hey, Dr. Tarner, I'm going to mail him nude pictures of me.
Okay, Ron, I got to ask you this, man. It sounds like there's a lot of behind the scenes here that the parents are not involved in.
Well, I'm on your radio show tonight to try to get the word out as gently as I can that we've got a trust issue. And we asked the girls, if you don't trust us because you're afraid the pictures will go to, you know, a porn site or something, we will put it in a folder.
And you will not share with the administration or the parents that this student has sent you these pictures. That's what I have a problem with.
Well, you got to hear me out. No one's going to see the pictures.
It still doesn't matter. If I'm a father and my daughter has sent you a naked picture of herself and you've put it into a trust folder, you're in possession of those pictures.
I'm not, but what you're not hearing, Phil, and I don't know whether you're refusing to hear me.
No, I am hearing you. You're saying you're not looking at them.
Well, are you calling me a liar?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, you've known me for a long time.
I understand. I've known you as a guest on my show. I'm just saying, as an average father, I wouldn't know what to think. Hold on for a minute, okay?
Well, I got to tell you, that's very insulting.
Hold on for just a minute. Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us as we talk about students sexting pictures, sending naked pictures. Dr. Tarner has said to his senior class girls, if you don't trust me sending them to me, I will put them in a folder. The whole idea is, if you trust me as your teacher, you would send me these pictures. 877, I don't know if that's the right message or not, 877-876-7445. It's world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Dr. Ron Tarner in a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory and the Destry School, which is a magnet school, right, Ron?
Well, yeah. It's a school for gifted young people, gifted... our school is middle school and high school.
All right. You know, there's a lot going on with what you're telling me. Sexting pictures. First of all, sending them through electronically, through the mail, through email, sending them in cyberspace, sending any kind of pornography, especially underage, is against the law.
Well, hold on for a minute. I'm not sending anything.
No, I know. I know that. But what I'm saying is, when you say to these kids, why aren't you sending me these pictures?
No, I'm not. No, I didn't say that. I said to them, do you trust us? And the kids are, okay, you know, yes, we do. And I said, well, if you trust us as teachers, there's a lot of ways of that you would show that. And one of them would be the fact, you know, Yes, in a way I did. And if you're saying that I broke the law, I think you're wrong because I what I did.
Well, I'm not saying. In fact, I've got a caller hanging on. But hold on. I'm not saying you broke the law necessarily. I'm saying, are you asking these girls to send you these pictures?
No, I'm saying if you're sending these pictures around, you need them to come to us because we are your teachers and you need to trust us. And I had the closed door meeting with the students.
And you're not looking at these pictures.
No. We're simply saying that if this is what you're doing, then why are we not the recipients as well as other trusted individuals? That's all.
So the sending of a naked picture indicates trust.
Well, I think you're going way overboard here. I didn't say to them, "Hey, send me a nude picture." That means you. I said,
"Well, in a sense, you are." You're saying if you kids are sexting these pictures.
Well, what you're doing now is you're just putting words in my mouth and confusing me. I said, "Are you girls sending pictures of your, you know what?" And
well, what does that mean? You know what?
I said to the girls, "Are you showing it in these pictures? And if you are, that's wrong. But if you are, well,
if you are, you need to send them to us.
Yes, if you trust us. But I think what you've done here is you've manipulated and twisted it around so it sounds like I've got, you know, that I'm a pornographer." And I can assure you that is absolutely not the case.
Well, I'm not trying to say that, Ron. I'm wondering, though, if what you're doing is wise at all. Let's go to a phone call here. We have Dave on the line. Dave, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ron Tarner.
Hi, guys. I have a couple
Hello,
of
sir.
Questions. I am in education, and I have a couple of points. The first point I want to make is that before you touch this subject at all, you should be, as an educator, you should be consulting your legal department because there's a very good chance that what you're saying is illegal and could be looked at in a court of law as you asking for child pornography. I'm not saying it is. I'm not passing the value judgment on what you're saying. I'm just saying that by doing what it sounds like what you're doing, you might be putting your job at risk.
Well, I doubt it, but I certainly...
Well,
I think it's good advice.
I also have to say the fact that you doubt it makes me doubt that you're an educator because
we are challenged these days by a multitude of problems that a generation ago other teachers were not. So I don't know that because I don't have the magic answer doesn't necessarily make me.
Yeah, but what this man's saying, excuse me, Dave, for interrupting you, but there's certain legal areas the teachers today. Go ahead.
No, please say what you were going to say, but I do want
well,
to.
Well, I was just, simply going to say that there's certain legal areas, you know.
Well, Phil, this gentleman is a teacher, and I'm a teacher, and what are you again? A talk show host. So, you know.
Well, I'm trying to facilitate the conversation. I'm just simply saying that there are legal areas that I think teachers today have to be aware of that teachers were not aware of years ago. There are, yeah.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about? You got teachers now are being brought up on charges if they pat a kid on the shoulder. So you got to, you know what's going on.
Well, nobody's going to bring the guy up on charges.
Well, they're being accused, at least. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, on that issue, and this, I do want to make my second point, but on the issue... As a teacher, you're held to a different standard. If you're accused of something in a community, it doesn't matter if you're guilty or not. Your history. If your district comes up and says you're trying to collect pornography, your reputation is shot. And unless you're consulting your district and your legal department, what you're doing is, in my opinion, very foolhardy.
Well, let me ask you something. As a teacher, and you're sitting there, and you know this stuff is flying through cyberspace, I mean, you're not the least bit curious?
What does that mean?
Because I'm asking you.
No. My orientation, I'm a teacher. I'm also a single father raising three kids. So
yeah,
I understand this issue very well. And my concern is with the health of the child. Now, for that, I have no desire or need to ever see pictures My concern is on orienting the child towards the healthiest behavior I can. Now, kids are going to be curious about sex, and there's nothing you can do about that. If you want their trust, you're not going to say to them, that's wrong. If they've already done it, you just lost them.
Good point.
Well, look, I want to say this, Dave. You sound like a great teacher. I am a part-time teacher. My field is astronomy. I primarily work at the observatory and at the University of Denver, but I filled in doing these classes at the high school level. And I feel like I'm some kind of a bum now, you know.
Well, why?
Well, this guy knows what he's doing. And I'm sitting here. I feel like a,
Well, if you've got bad intentions...
Two issues I'm addressing. One is your safety of your job. You need to protect more carefully, in my opinion. And the other is, what is the best way to help children orient themselves towards a healthy sexual growth? Now, kids are curious. Huh. There's nothing you can do about that. And technology is what it is, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I've never thought about.
Well, you got to think about it if you're teaching at a high school level.
I just, they told me to come in and cover science for the senior class.
Well, you still got to think of. I mean, if you're doing science, and I understand you're good at it, but now you got sexting, all this jazz. Hey, listen, Dave, thank you. I got to take a break here. There's our bumper music. Thank you, sir, for your call. You understand what I'm saying?
All I know is that bad. He sounds like a good father, a good team. But I feel like I feel like some dirty guy in an alley. And I did that. That was not my intention coming on your program.
Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know.
Well, it's kind of that's how I've been made to feel. I'm like some filthy man in an alley with dirty underwear that's pulled down to his knees and an overcoat. And it's wrong. I think it's unfair.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner on the line with us from Denver, Colorado. Dr. Tarner, we've had on periodically talking about scientific news, things that have been happening in the news in the world of science. Dr. Tarner has also done teaching at various middle schools in the Denver area and has been teaching for the last year at one of the magnet schools there. And he joins us to talk about this problem of kids sexting. And you just heard from a very good teacher there, Ron. You said that gentleman, Dave.
Absolutely. He sounded like he had it together. And I understand something, if I could.
Let me just set this up for the audience.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that Ron's with us talking about his experience as a teacher and how you've been dealing with this sexting problem. Kids, primarily girls, I guess, sending naked pictures of themselves.
Well, yeah. I mean, already, as I said, and I was trying to be candid.
And I appreciate that.
There's pictures that are out there on the Internet or whatever that are being cyber sex and this kind of deal. And I don't want anyone to think that I'm getting my, I'm getting my jollies looking at underage girls. One thing I don't get my jollies doing is looking at underage boys. So if you say that there's sexting going on with these photographs and there's boys doing it, let me just say this. I already feel bad enough. I'm not queer. I shouldn't say queer.
You're all right. I understand. But this is that falls beyond. We're not talking about gay now, man. If they're underage kids, we're talking about a more serious problem than an adult having sex with a kid, regardless of the orientation. We're talking about the impropriety. You know what I'm saying?
No. This is what
you're starting to get into all of this explanation. I'm a scientist, Phil.
Well, I'm trying to explain it.
No, I know, but I'm a scientist. And my world is primarily the world of looking into areas of life that most people don't look into. We're looking into, as an astronomer, for instance, we look into the dynamics of the solar system, of the galaxy, of our universe, in terms of spatial relationships between these so-called heavenly bodies. It's a solitary work, and there are other people in the work, and I do communicate with them, but we are, to coin a phrase, a bunch of Poindexters. We're a bunch of dorks, you know.
You self-described that way, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just a bunch of dorks and nerds. And now I get into the world, and I'm teaching, and someone, you know, sends the word around on an email, there's these new pictures, okay. So, you know, me and Jack Masters, who also works in the science field, we sat down with the girls and said, if you trust us,
you'll send us these pictures. And that's where that guy was saying, you may be soliciting the sending of
No, I understand.
Child pornography.
Yeah, no, I understand that now. And now I feel like I've been misunderstood because it seems as if the impression is given that I'm, as I said, some dirty old guy with his underwear pulled down. You know what I mean?
No, I understand. And you're not a perv.
No, God almighty. I've got a son. You know, I'm married. Well, that's my second marriage. But no, I was...
Let me ask you something. When you said to the girls you could send them to us, we keep them in a trust folder.
Well, yeah, the trust folder means that nobody, and I'm not saying me, but no one would get a look until they turned 18. I guess that's bad.
No one would get a look.
Yes, and if that's wrong, then you know. Let me tell you something. Now, if we get any, I'm going to forward any email that I get without opening it from any student directly to the administration, and if the girls hate my guts, I guess that's, you know, part of the, that's my life, you know.
All right, Ron Tarnow, what does that mean, that's your life?
Well, I mean, that's the way I was when I was in high school myself, you know. I was a nerd and a dork, and the girls, you know, so okay, fine, so...
Well, all right, but Ron, this is not the time of life for you to work out some adolescent problems.
No, I understand it.
And it's not the time, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, but there are other issues here that are more serious.
No, I know that, but I'm just telling you. I start teaching this school, and I find out that there's nude shots, and, no, I guess Ron Turner doesn't get to see him.
No, you don't get to see him. You're an adult.
I know that. But I find out from Masters, he saw, well...
Oh, he did he? Well, here's a guy. Stay as far away from that guy as you can.
No. I don't. I misspoke.
Yeah, well, you misspoke, huh? If you get a cop calling you, asking you these questions, man.
There's no, he didn't see. Somebody said they saw something, but I think it was actually one of the faculty. There's a woman by the name of Miss Ryan, and I think she, well, I'll tell you, she sent a picture of her ass. And it was one of those Xerox.
Okay, I don't care. All right, I don't care.
No, but don't you think that's irresponsible that a female faculty member sat on a Xerox at, it might have been one of the Christmas parties or something, but sat on a Xerox and took a picture of her ass?
I don't know. 877-876-7445. Margaret, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Tarnow.
Yes. What is your name again, sir?
My name is Dr. Ron Tarnow.
All right. I am a mother of an adolescent boy, and a lot of times I think I'm the mother of two adolescent boys. I'm married to a very my husband Frank, who sometimes can be very childish. You were talking about these underage girls sending sexual pictures, and my son, who is a 14-year-old and is currently attending himself a magnet school in the Santa Monica, California area, called Bergdorf. Bergdorf. Do you know the name Bergdorf?
I don't. Is that the one named after the actor?
It was named in an. It was an honorary naming of Gary Bergdorf.
Okay, I know the school. Yeah.
And
well, hold on. What do you mean, Gary? The guy from MASH?
Yes, that's right. It's a magnet school that was named in honor of Gary Burghoff.
I thought his name was Burghoff.
I did too. Burghoff?
No, the name is Burghoff. Can I do the phone call, Phil, or do you just want to go ahead and preempt me?
I'm sorry, Margaret. I've never heard the gentleman.
The name is, if you want to pronounce it, in the Germanic. If you care at all about what is proper, the name is Gary Burghoff. And it was the Gary Burghoff Middle School, and that's where my son, Jason J. Delmonico, attends.
All right, and your son's name is Jason?
No, I just got done telling you my son's name is Jason J. Wow!
Crew there tonight,
Henry. Hey, well, hold on for just a second so that we're all on the same page.
No, I mean, that's just...
No, hold on so we're all on the same page. We can't hear you. You've got a TV turned up.
Frank, I turned the TV down.
I'm watching rerun of Sea
Hunt. I don't give a damn. How's that?
It's still loud, but anyway.
Frank, turn it down.
I told you it's the Sea Hunt.
There's a Sea Hunt marathon. Is that all right, Phil?
I don't know. I mean, I just... Ms. Gray, you called the show.
Don't be exasperated, Phil, okay?
Phil, is this a regular of yours? Who is this lady? Is she one of your regulars?
Hold on for a minute. I'm running the show. I will ask the questions, and if I find that there is a miscommunication going on or there are people who are not communicating properly, I will hang up on them. Ms. Gray, I am asking you simply to respect that. Now... You know, if the name is Burghoff, okay, it's Burghoff. I never heard of it. Dr. Tarner's an educator. He's a scientist. Okay.
And does Dr. Tarner live in Santa Monica, California?
Would you just hold on for a minute?
No, I do not.
Bingo.
Hold on for a minute. We're getting way off. You called in with a specific reason.
I did, and I'd like to get to it.
All right, then get to it and get off of how anybody understands a school. You have to understand that it's kind of a big thing. I didn't know that Gary Burghoff had a school named after him.
You really want to push my buttons tonight, don't you?
All right, Burghoff, I didn't know that.
All right. Gary Burghoff was a marvelous character actor in the very marvelous television program. MASH, did you see that program, Doctor?
Yes, I did. I remember the program.
All right. Gary Burghoff played Radar. I guess Phil's going to flip out if I don't say Radar. But the French is Radar.
What is that? What do you mean the French? That's something that he's into. He always likes to pronounce French.
Hey, Frank, just go in there and watch your Sea Hunt marathon before I put this high heel and the heel of this high heel into one of your eyeballs.
God.
All right. I've been listening to your domestic dispute there. Can we move on?
Yes. I'm simply saying that Gary Burghoff, who played Radar... All right, you happy, Phil?
Yeah, that's fine.
This is the magnet school, Dr. Turner. So my son, Jason J. Delmonico, came home, and his cell phone was loaded with these images. And I am telling you, it was loaded down. And as you know, cyber images and email doesn't have any real physical weight because it's digital. And yet, the content was so filthy, and he had so many of these that had been sent to him by these girls whose parents, and I know some of the parents, believe me when I tell you, so it doesn't surprise me. These girls had sent my son, Jason J. Delmonico, so many filthy pictures that the cell phone seemed heavier. You know what I mean by that?
No, I don't. This gets into the wheelhouse of what I'm talking about, Mr. Henry, that here's a kid who's getting more of an eyeful than I've gotten in the last, I'm 42 years of age. And he's got more of an eyeful at the age of 14 than I've yet to get at 42.
All right, I'm not interested in that. What is your point, Ms. Gray?
What do you mean? That was very rude of you.
What is your point, Ms. Gray, or I'm hanging up?
My point is this. When my son came home with these images, and I went through each one after the other, after the other, after the other, crotchless panties, no underwear, no...
All right, and the point is...
You know what?
Hang up on him.
Frank just got your gender right.
I thought you were talking to a woman.
No, it's Phil Henry.
Oh, okay. Hang up on him.
Well...
I hang up on you. How's that? Unreal. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. What, Ron?
I'm sorry, Phil, but you just said, I hang up on you. That was almost like you were a Moloch. And
all right, just get rid of these people, man.
Hey, you flip it out, Phil.
You better believe I'm flipping out. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a Moloch.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I hang up on you.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
New York Times. Ron Tarner finishing up the hour with us here as we have been discussing sexting. And you saw what I was doing there, Ron?
Yeah, I'm very fascinated by that.
Well, it's the front page of the New York Times for people who've been with us here on Phil TV and HD, and I know, Ron, you have. I have a wonderful set of CD-ROMs, or a CD-ROM, of the New York front pages of the New York Times.
Oh. Okay, that's what that is. All right, because I saw you have different dates.
Yeah, we have. It's every front page of the New York Times from 1851 to 2008, and it's fascinating because.
Can you read the stories?
You can read whatever the story is on the front page. You can't. It's only the front page.
All right, so you don't get the back sections.
No, you don't. But it's fun because you go back and you look at different things.
Well, you know what I would love to do is get that. I'd like to go back and look at, you know, for instance, when Pluto was discovered and what people thought about that, or when Mars, you know what I'm saying?
You mean the different sort of astronomical things that made the front page?
Well, yeah. You know, there are certain things in the world of astronomy that do make the front page. Most of it doesn't. Most of it is generally relegated, Phil, to the astronomy journals or the astrophysic journals. And is only read by other scientists, but occasionally, and this was the case with the discovery of the Pluto, which is the furthest planet in our solar system, or so far. We believe that there is now another planet, a tenth planet, and I don't know how many planets there are. And I don't think it's important. There are a lot of people in my discipline that think. Oh, you have to know the names of all the planets, and it makes me sick to have to keep explaining to people.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Why don't you think you should?
Why don't I think I should what?
Why don't you? You're an astronomer. Why wouldn't you know the name of all the planets? The names of?
Well, what's the point? You know, if you sit guys like Stephen Hawking, you know that I've talked about Hawking a lot.
Well, you don't like Hawking.
No, I don't like Hawking. No, I don't.
And I think that is in and of itself a very interesting discussion. You don't like him because...
Well, don't start putting words in my mouth, Phil. You know,
all right, well, you tell my audience, but am I wrong in saying that you have evidence on our show you've said in the past you don't like Hawking because he writes dirty jokes?
No, he writes jokes that I think are ethnically offensive. He's done a lot of Polish jokes. He's emailed a lot of those. And I don't see where a guy, and this is my problem, I understand that, but how can a guy who lives basically 24/7 in a hoveround get as many women as he does? That's the problem, you know.
Well, like you said, that's your problem, though. Why should that be, you know, that's why would you dislike him?
I just don't like him for it. I don't like a guy who's a human pretzel sitting in a hoveround, and he's got one piece of ass after the neck.
All right, watch the language, Ron, okay?
I'm sorry, Phil, I apologize.
Yeah, watch the language.
I mean, it is late at night.
I understand that. Just watch the language. All right, let's get off of Dr. Hawking, because I don't think there's any point to this discussion. It's bizarre for me to hear you talk that way.
Look, I don't take anything away from him scientifically, although I think a lot of people don't get credit for some of the work that he does. I admit it's my problem.
All right, since it's your problem, let's move on. Tell me about this whole thing, the newspapers, Pluto, but the fact that you don't need to know the names of the planets.
All right, well, first of all, Phil, What I would ask is that you not make me sound like a dumbass, all right? Because this is not uncommon among astronomers. You talk to one astronomer after the next, and we go to these meetings, and I said to Jerry Bunch, who's one of the top astronomers back east. He's at the Yale School, and he's done work with the Covington Planetary, with the planetarium there in Connecticut, and he agrees with me. He says it's a real pain in the you-know-what to have these young astronomers right out of school coming, oh, I know the names of all the planets, you know, Uranus. That's the other thing. It's childish. And
all right, let me get a phone call here. 877-876-7445. And let's go over here to Lloyd. Lloyd, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, sir. Mr. Henry, I enjoy your program every night, and I listen every night and enjoy it very much.
Thank you.
To your guest, your name is what, sir?
Rod Carter.
Dr. Carter, yes. You know, I've been to you know, school, but I didn't achieve the level of erudition and tuition to which you have achieved. I'm an ordinary man. I was a Korean War veteran.
Well, thank you for your service to our country, sir.
Was I?
Thank you very much for your service to our country.
Well, thank you. But I find it, you know, a little strange. And I heard this part, and I said to my wife, I'm going to call in, because I don't usually call into these shows.
Well, that's not true.
And I beg your pardon?
Well, you've called my show before.
No, I have not called your show before. This is the first time, and if I have called your show before, I'd appreciate it if you would just go along with...
All right, you've never called my show before.
Well, the cat's out of the bag now. I mean, obviously I know that you have called the show before.
That's what I mean. If you had gone along with me, and...
What is your point? I'm a little impatient with callers tonight.
All right, I'll get to my point. For you not to know the names of the planets, that's seven shades of stupid in my book.
Well, you know what, sir? I know the dynamics of black hole and wormhole. I know all of that. So why do I have to know the name of Saturn? Or is it because you're getting off on Uranus, too?
What? No, sir. I know there's a planet called Uranus. And I don't overuse it in the childish manner that you are talking about. I simply am asking, why don't you know the names of the planets?
I know some of them.
You know some? What are the names? You're an astronomer, and you know some of the names of the planets.
I could tell you that I know Venus.
All right.
Earth.
Well, bingo.
You know, I don't have to put up with it.
Okay, that's great. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour coming up. God.
Is the caller still there? Is the caller there?
No.
Well, I know the names of the planets. Does anyone care?
No.
Phil Henry.
May you live below the crust of the earth with the...
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And that was a real weird hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, that Ron Tom, man, I don't think that guy should be teaching no high school.
Yeah, but he said he's an astronomy.
He's an astronomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe he's not quite ready for high school teaching. I don't know. Now, what we got into here is, as I've sometimes said to you guys over the course of the many weeks, is I bring in here my New York Times CD-ROM, and what it is it's the front pages of the New York Times going back to 1851. And I was looking up here along with Neil, because I've got the 1950 to 2008 CD in. When did we first know about... I was just picking a moment in history, okay?
Yeah, dude, you picked up a missile.
Right, the Cuban Missile Crisis, bud. You know about that?
Not really.
Nah, he's a dumbass, man. He don't know.
Yeah, do you know about it?
Yeah, I do, man.
What is it?
Go ahead, Robert.
It's when there was missiles in Cuba, and Kennedy was the president, man. They told him to get them out of there, or we would drop an A-bomb on Russia, I think.
Are you kidding me, man? They never would do that.
That's exactly what it was, bud. That's precisely what it was.
Kennedy must have been a madman. Robbie Goody got assassinated.
How dare you say that?
I'll kick your ass for that, man.
Yep.
How dare you say that, bud?
You're going to drop an A-bomb.
Don't you understand what was going on? That's why I have this thing in the computer, you idiot.
Was he going to do an A-bomb or was he not?
Why don't you shut up, man, and listen to what's going on?
Bud, shut up. First of all, one of the things we were looking up was, when did the public first know about this, and when did the United States actually know that there were missiles, Russian offensive missiles, in Cuba? Well, that was on the 14th or the 15th, where we had a U-2 plane flew over, and they took pictures. These were spy planes that we used in those days. Nowadays, you know, you could take pictures. Nowadays, we got Google, you know.
Yeah, you got Google up everybody's you-know-what.
Right. Nowadays, if we want to know what our enemy is doing, we'll just go on Google. Find out. Anyway, so that was the 14th. But guess when the American people became aware of it? More to the point, guess when the New York Times said, hey, there's something bad happening in Cuba? It wasn't until the 22nd of October. So for a good 12 days, this was something that was kept from the American people. Now, Kennedy happened to have been out of town, because there's a headline here. This is the biggest headline on the 21st of October. I bet you guys probably thought, you know, well, I mean, the missiles of October, it must have been a heavy-ass thing. Now, there's that movie, 13 Days, that I thought sucked, but nonetheless, it is called 13 Days, and maybe that's why it's called 13 Days, because there was the discovery of these missiles in Cuba on the 14th, and then, like, the 22nd, which is actually 12 days, maybe 13, depending on what you're counting, the headline in the New York Times, and maybe this was this period of time that they were trying to figure out what the hell to do. Because Kennedy was out of town. He was out on some kind of a campaign stump, because this was the midterms. 62 would have been the congressional midterms. He all of a sudden comes back to Washington because they say, oh, he's got a cold. But the New York Times says in this article that I'm looking at here on the 21st, I'd show it to you guys if you're watching Phil TV, president cuts his tour short, flies to the Capitol, has mild cold, but then look at this: the rest of the headline. Speculation rises on possible urgent White House business.
That means they're covering it up?
Yeah, bud, they're covering it up, but it ain't like a cover-up like Watergate. They're trying to figure out what they got before they just spill it out there to the American people. You got offensive missiles in Cuba. Okay, that's a bad thing.
Why?
Why? Because they're pointed at the United States. And because the United States has had a long-term policy since the days of James Monroe, called the Monroe Doctrine, which meant no European or foreign powers muck around in the Western Hemisphere. This is America's hemisphere, and that's where that's at. And we had adhered to this for over a century. However, you know, times change. These days, we don't really do the Monroe Doctrine as stringently as we used to. For instance, I think the Russians are building some kind of a naval facility in either Brazil or one of these countries. And we haven't really made a big thing out of it. Maybe if they were still commie, maybe we would. But in any event, Kennedy said to them, no, you can't have these missiles. And Khrushchev said, well, why not? You guys invaded Cuba, and we are not going to put up with that. Cuba's communistic.
I thought Kennedy was right.
Well, wait, will you just hold on? And they said, well, yeah, we invaded Cuba. So what? So you can't invade Cuba, and we're going to guarantee the security of Cuba, said the Soviet Union, and we will guarantee the security of Cuba by sticking these missiles, and we'll point them right at Washington, D.C., and the other major centers of population in your country. How does that grab you? And Kennedy said, well, it ain't grabbing me too good, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to get those missiles out of there. No, we're not. And not only, well, yes, you are, and not only that, but we're going to embargo everything that's coming down there.
What's that mean?
It means American ships, we're going to stop every single ship going into Cuba, regardless of its nationality, and check every damn ship going in there, and make sure that they were not bringing in contraband, to wit, missiles, defensive missile systems, etc. Now, there was all kinds of crap going on behind the scenes, but essentially, Kennedy let us in on what he was doing on the 22nd. So all this stuff is happening, and the American people don't know diddly squat, because like I said, here's the headline on the 21st of October, and it has something to do with China and India and some other bullcrap.
That their U.S. may counter Latin aid critics.
Yeah, just boring stuff. Now comes the 22nd, and look at the headline now. It is it's a headline about stuff going on in the Capitol. It says, Capitol crisis air hints at development on Cuba. So now, all of a sudden, the 22nd, Kennedy TV talk is likely. Boom!
Man, they kept that on the wrap.
Yeah. And Neil was saying to me, he said, how is it that that stuff stayed quiet? I said, it's very simply this. In those days, reporters would hold back reporting on things for national security. And also in those days, reporters may not have suspected, or may not have, maybe they were a little bit more naive than a modern day reporter in that, look, if there's anything really important, anything newsworthy, we're going to find out what it is. And maybe they thought they were better than they were, and maybe that was easier to keep things from reporters, but mostly it was, you know, they would hold things back.
So you think the New York Times guy knew?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe the New York Times guy knew. I mean, there's been a lot of books written about this period of history. You guys should look it up. But all of a sudden, here's this Capitol crisis. Kennedy goes on TV. Latin sympathy for U.S. rises in Castro dispute. Top aides confer. I mean, the whole thing. U.S. forces maneuver off Puerto Rico. Link is denied. You know, all kind. Link is denied. That meant because we had our forces maneuvering, which basically meant the Navy, and Russia said, oh, are you guys now mobilizing your Navy? No, it's just war games. Take it easy. Which, of course, no, it wasn't.
So Kennedy said he's going to drop a bomb, though.
Kennedy said to them, get the missiles out of there, and we'll talk. That's what he said behind the scenes. To the American people, it was, Kennedy tells them to get the missiles out. It wasn't quite that easy, and they did talk, him and Khrushchev, and it came down to this. Khrushchev said, oh, we'll get our missiles out of there for a guarantee that you guys will not attack Cuba. Okay. There was also one that was not reported widely at the time, but was nonetheless true. We also did not deploy offensive missiles that we had been planning on deploying, I believe, in Turkey.
Where's that?
Turkey's in Asia. Okay, it's a country over there.
Yeah, it's in Asia.
Yes, will you guys look at a map?
I can't find it on a map.
Oh, that's right, I forgot. Anyway, so there was that quid pro quo. All right, so enough about that bullcrap. That's just a little bit of us giving you the news background here from our New York Times CD-ROMs. All right, we'll get into the rest of the stuff, current stuff, stuff that's happening, stuff that's heaviosity, you know, from these here days. Nowadays, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
Let me read
the
that.
Phil Hendry Show.
U.S. forces maneuver off Puerto Rico. Survey
support for the isolation.
Don't read it out loud. Read it to yourself.
For all things news and talk radio, visit drncentral.com. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Is this... Oh, this is Friday night. It's actually Saturday morning all over America, and except for what?
Except for Hawaii. Dang, Hawaii is still Friday night.
In Hawaii and Alaska, it's probably still Friday, but it's Saturday everywhere else, and it's Saturday in all the places that count. I'm kidding. Hawaii's awesome.
Man, I'll tell you what, Hawaii and California are only states that are worth it.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Why would you say that?
Well, it's true.
I'm on a show that's national here. Don't insult the country. Okay?
Well?
Don't say, why in California? Only places, you know, there's people living all over the country, okay? And there's nice things about every state. Don't give me this bull crap, okay?
Yeah, well, that you got to say that on account of you got to be nice and everything.
And you got to be nice, too. California, Hawaii, the only thing is worth it. I happen to like, there's a lot of parts of this country. In fact, after I saw that thing on TV about whatever that thing was we were watching.
You mean the thing on the former president, George Bush? God.
All right, bud, I forgot. Maine, man, that's my kind of place.
Yeah, it looks pretty windswept.
Yeah, I don't know if a black guy'd be comfortable there or not. Ow! God.
Hey.
Shut up, man.
Hi. Watch it. Why do you say stuff like that, bud?
Just to piss him off.
Yeah, you know it does piss me off.
Watch it. All right, so Maine looks really nice this time of year. Probably in the wintertime, it's pretty nasty. But there's all kinds of places, man, that I want to go to before I shuffle off the mortal coil. Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. So that was kind of a cool thing. JetBlue pilot not guilty, judge rules. You want to know why? Because he's nuts. That's right. Clayton Olson, I shouldn't say that, but a Texas judge on Tuesday found a JetBlue pilot insane and not guilty of interfering with a flight after his bizarre behavior forced an emergency landing in March. Clayton Osborne, age 49, had been charged with interference with a flight crew and could face up to 20 years in prison. Court documents show U.S. District Judge Mary Lou Robinson in Amarillo, Texas, received a report from a psychological examination that concluded at the time of the commission of the offense, the defendant appeared to suffer from a severe mental disease or defect that impaired his ability to appreciate the nature, quality, or wrongfulness of his behavior. All parties, including the prosecutors, agreed to the report.
How's that possible?
It's possible if the man is psychotic. And what that means is if he's got a, if you're psychotic, that's different from being psychopathic. If you're psychotic, reality is not for you what it is for the rest of us. You are hearing voices, you're hallucinating things, you're seeing things. Nowadays, we treat psychotic people with medicine. But if you're not taking your medicine, and a lot of these people go off their medicine, man, I will never understand why they do it, but they do. And
well, they just like forget.
Well, I mean, you can forget one day, and or maybe two. It's not like if you forget your medicine one day, you automatically begin getting you're turning into a lunatic. But it's pretty fast. You know, you've got to get back on your medicine. And if you care at all about your recovery, I mean, if you care at all about your health, you're going to take your medicines. I don't know. There must be something going on there. Anyway, that's what I'm surmising is wrong with this guy. Last month, Judge Robinson declared Osborne fit to stand trial, saying he was not now suffering from a mental disease or defect that would make it impossible for him to assist in his own defense. Osborne had been examined by a government-appointed psychologist who did not address whether he was sane at the time of the March 27th incident. I don't think a psychologist is the guy. You got to have a psychiatrist.
What's the difference?
The difference is a psychiatrist has a medical degree. A psychologist does not. A psychiatrist can prescribe medicine. Witnesses said that Osborne had to be wrestled to the floor of the plane that was heading from New York to Las Vegas after he began sprinting down the aisle, yelling that things don't matter, and talking about Afghanistan, Iraq, and Al-Qaeda. Before being forced out of the flight deck by the first officer, the FBI said Osborne had tried to interfere with the plane's controls and began rambling, saying, "We're not going to Vegas," and warning the first officer that we're going to have to take a leap of faith. Yeah, he's nuts.
Man.
Judge Robinson ordered that Osborne be taken to a prison in Fort Worth, Texas for a mental examination, then returned to court for an August 6th hearing where his fate will be up to the judge. Under federal law, people found not guilty by reason of insanity can be incarcerated until they can establish that they're entitled to be released. Several passengers on board the flight have filed suit against JetBlue for gross negligence, saying the airline should have known that he was unfit for duty as a pilot. Was this guy the pilot on the plane, or was he just a passenger?
I don't know. Then he got it.
He was the pilot. That's bad. That's bad. That sounds to me like a guy that was either not taking his meds or this was a completely undiagnosed condition that suddenly just bang. You know what I'm saying? He went goofy, man. The fact is I'm gay and I always have been. And I'm kidding. That's the...
Yeah, man, you're mixing the stories up.
I know. The pilot then went on to say, "I'm gay and I always have been." The pilot, Anderson Cooper, One of these days we'll have to do that with news. You know, we'll call it our news mashup. I mean, a real news mashup, not just some jive-ass CNN-style, you know, lame-ass. This is going to be a real news mashup, so we'll start out talking about a mentally diseased pilot who's also gay. His name's Anderson Cooper. And, you know, and then the pilot, but the news anchor is a guy by the name of Osborne, who went sprinting into the studio talking about we have to take a leap of faith, and he was on the air.
Yeah, that's like that movie Network.
Yes, it's just like Howard Beale and Network. So anyway, that's, and the other thing about that is, and people, you know, I hope people don't think, well, he's getting away with murder, because he's not. I mean, if the man, if we find out that the man was, you know, psychotic by reason of this disease, that schizophrenia or something, then, yeah, if he's better, if he's on his meds, if the guy's cool, there's no reason to incarcerate him. You let him go.
Yeah, but that he almost blew the plane up and stuff.
No, he didn't, man. All he did was go in and say a bunch of stupid stuff.
No, but he didn't kill anybody. He didn't beat anybody up. He scared some people. And, yeah, people are going to sue. And that sucks. But he himself was not in control of his wits. He didn't know what was going on. And so... you can reasonably say, well, if the guy's taking his medicine, he's not symptomatic, there's nothing going on, and we have to let him go. Yeah, sure, you want to punish somebody like that, but there's no point, man. There's no point in punishing someone that was sick and you can make them better. Why not just make them better?
Because he scared everybody, and also, just what you're not thinking about.
You're not talking about because it cost the company money.
Yeah.
Well, so what, man? Why put a guy in jail just because it cost the company money?
That's not the company's fault, you know?
What do you mean it's not the company's fault?
Well, what I'm saying, I shouldn't say it's not the company's fault. It's not the fault of the pilot, is what I mean. The pilot didn't cause that.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did. Shut up, bud. Listen to me. No, he didn't, because he was sick, but the company put him in that pilot seat. So, you know, frankly, I agree with the lawsuit. You know, I agree with the lawsuit. They should have evaluated it. I mean, look at, dude, if that guy had been behind the yoke of that aircraft, instead of, he went into the bathroom and apparently had this episode, but if he decided we're going to have to take a leap of faith, and his idea of a leap of faith is, boom!
Yeah, straight down.
Straight down into, you know, terra firma. You better believe there's some lawsuits then, man. As it was, the company dodged a big bullet here, man. They could have had dead people. But I don't blame the pilot. I don't blame this man. He's got a disease. He's going to go get treated. They're going to have him in front of the judge again on August the 6th. They're going to figure out what the hell's up with him. He's probably going to be, once he's treated, he's probably going to say, what the hell happened? What did I do? And I'm very sorry. And I, you know, but someone's going to have to tell that nut, excuse me for saying that, someone's going to have to tell the guy, you know.
Yeah, he is a nut.
Well, hold on. Somebody's going to have to tell the guy, you can't forget to take your medicine, dude. Otherwise, we've got big problems. We got big problems. I don't know why I'm not talking gooder English. All right. So that's that story there, and let that be a lesson to you. Coming up, a Chuck E. Cheese mascot will be given a younger and hipper makeover. We'll see what that's all about. I know there's a lot of you that don't want to be reminded of Chuck E. Cheese, don't even want to know it exists. And I think that's, you're over, you know, I think it's fun. It can be fun for adults if you, it can be fun for adults if there's no other adults there, you know. I'll explain. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com. Get a live, get access to our live streaming video with a backstage pass. We'll be right back.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, I was looking at this one particular story of a plane crash. You know, what's that website we go to, Robert?
That's called Air Disasters.
Air Disasters. Now, you know, I'm not modeling, but I found that website at a very pivotal time. There had been an air crash in Southeast Asia about a year ago, I think, something like that. And we found this site because it had cockpit recordings. It also had air traffic control recordings. But, you know, the thing about flying, man, and the thing about safety, like I was telling Neil, I've been flying since I was in high school. So I've been flying since the late 1960s. And not a lot has changed in terms of the actual cabin. When you go and you sit in an aircraft today, it's pretty much the same aircraft that I was in, minus the ashtrays, 40 years ago. The wide bodies have been flying for at least the 70s. I mean, the 747, the very first wide body, that was like 70, whatever the hell it was, 71. So, you know, you're getting on these wide bodies, and you're flying in a jet aircraft, and that's where that's at. What has changed, though, is something, a lot of things. Here's one thing that I can tell you about, because we experienced that. We experienced the reason for this change here in Los Angeles. And it was, I'll never forget, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was working over at KNX FM radio here in L.A. I was a disc jockey at the time, and I was down on Sunset Boulevard, and I was playing records, and this was around, I don't know what the hell it was, man, 83 or something like that. A Mexicana Airlines aircraft was coming into LAX, and it clipped a private aircraft, I think it was a Mexicana, and down it went, crash, everybody dead, that's the end of that. Okay. Now, here's something that I didn't know. I didn't know it then, and I didn't find out about this until, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago when I was doing some reading. Up until that point, pilots had to look out the window for other aircraft, literally. There was no other way of avoiding a crash with another aircraft other than eyeballing it.
What do you mean?
I mean, you had to look out the window. And if you're looking out the window for another jet, forget it. If the guy is on a collision course with you, have you ever seen a jet go by sitting in an aircraft? You ever seen another jet go by?
Uh-oh.
It's like the blink of an eye. I mean, it can, if it's anywhere near you, even if it's a shadow, it's just like, phew. We were flying into London, and I saw a Royal Air Force jet come right in underneath us. Now, I don't know whether or not the British, if that's something they do. I don't know if this guy thought he was being funny. I don't know if he'd made a big mistake. You know the British. I don't think they're necessarily a bunch of clowns, and I don't think they take that stuff lightly. But I'm telling you, we're coming in. I saw a Royal Air Force jet, and I looked out my window, and I saw this guy zoom right underneath us. It's fast. So if you're a pilot in a jet and you're looking out for other aircraft, that's what you had to do up until the 80s. Today, we're very familiar with, if you ever sit in an aircraft, and especially if you're on a small plane, and you hear the pilot going through his safety check, and you hear the collision alarm.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's what, you want to know why they got collision alarms? Because of that crash here in Los Angeles. It isn't the first time, obviously, there was a mid-air collision, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's when the NTSB, the FAA, whoever, the pilots union, they all got together and said, we got to do something about this because this is nuts. You're asking us to look. I got to land a plane, and I'm in restricted airspace anyway. So now I'm coming into LAX. No other aircraft was supposed to be there. This guy that hit this jet had no business being there. It was some guy out for a Sunday spin, made a mistake. It wasn't intentional, but everybody's dead. And this jackass is in this restricted airspace over LAX. Now you got a pilot. He's trying to land a commercial jet. He's got hundreds of people on board. He's got to look out the window. He's supposed to be in an area where he should not have to worry about that. All he has to listen to is air traffic control tell him, here's the thing, and go over here and go there and have a nice day and get out of here. And that's it. But guess what? That wasn't the case. This guy's all of a sudden looking out. There's an airplane. I don't even know if they saw this guy. I don't even know if looking out the window would have helped, because this private aircraft clipped the wing under the cockpit. A collision alarm would have warned them, and would have warned them with enough time to alter the course of the aircraft. But they didn't have collision alarms in cockpits up to that point. The 80s, folks. That's not too long ago for guys like me. The 80s. And instead, they had to eyeball it, And, well, guess what? That don't exactly, that ain't too boogie-woogie, baby. And bzz, down they go.
Yeah. So they, when they get a collision alarm.
Well, like I said, after that air, that particular crash was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I'm sure the pilots union weighed in big time and said, that's it, man. We ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it anymore. Well, what are you tell you what I'm talking about, man. You're telling us we're going into restricted airspace. Well, guess what? Jackass here. Well, that shouldn't have happened. Yeah, I'll bet it shouldn't have happened, but guess what? It did. We can't be sitting there pulling it, man, looking around for every Tom, Dick, and you know what, while they're flying, they're taking a pleasure cruise on an afternoon in their little Piper Cub, and I'm muscling some big plane into it, and I can't do it, man. I, you know, what do you want me to do? I got to start looking around for these guys? We got to have, well, what do you want to do? We got to have a collision alarm. And like everything else in life, there had been people working on these things, working on these technologies. They had obviously developed this, but why isn't it in the air? Well, it's going to cost too much. Well, you know, we don't think it's always coming down to money. And folks, you know it as well as I do. I'm not saying that this is not a problem of the government. This isn't a problem of the airline industry. This is a problem of the human race. And if there's one thing that separates me maybe from a lot of people, especially doing talk shows, man, I see all these problems in terms of human failing. I ain't going to play this. Well, you look at what the government did. Because the government only does what we let them do. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you believe. I don't care if Noam Chomsky's out there right now taking notes.
Yeah, right.
Well, you never can tell.
Yeah, Noam Chomsky out there taking notes. Hey, Noam, you pick me up a pizza.
Yeah.
And give me.
All right, easy, easy. I see it in terms of a human problem. And so humans, human beings, stockholders, we're finding out now when we talk about the failings of Wall Street or the failings of corporate America, the failings of American industry, what do we always come back to? Now we come back to, stockholders, don't we? Well, I got to make the stockholders happy. Well, now who are they? Well, guess what? The further and further you investigate the problem, folks, I hate to break the news, the further and further you investigate the problem, the closer it gets to you and me as the problem. You want to look into the problem? I mean, you really want to look into the problem?
Now, you can't say that, man. People, they won't like you.
Oh, won't they like me?
Boo-hoo!
Oh, boo-hoo!
Yeah, but I mean, people don't react good to that.
What, people don't react good to the truth? Well, it's probably been my failing my whole life. But the fact is, any problem you want to talk about, any human problem you want to talk about, the closer you investigate, the more you get into the problem, the closer you get to the problem, the source of the problem, and that's Mr. and Mrs. America. Thank you and good night. All right, I want to get to this Chuck E. Cheese thing, because this is the real big news.
Yeah, right, that's just chicken crap.
Exactly. You can talk all you want about aircrafts crashing in midair and thousands of people going to their deaths in a flaming ball, but this, Chuck E. Cheese changing its mascot! God will not permit this to happen. I'm quoting George Patton.
Well, you're quoting George C. Scott.
Right. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. So anyway, anyone looking to hire a giant mouse? The company that runs the pizza and games restaurant has decided to send Chuck E. Cheese to the rodent retirement home at the ripe old age of 35. CEC Entertainment Incorporated, which runs the Chuck E. Cheese chain and has been running them right into the ground. I'm kidding. No, they haven't. It's fantastic. Is trading in the mouse in the backward baseball cap and fingerless gloves for a younger version of their longtime mascot. The new Chuck E. Cheese will be a hip electric guitar playing rock star determined to sell your youngster on the joys of pitchers of soda and skee ball. But it's not just the often animatronic mouse that is being retired. It's also the man who voiced the character for nearly two decades, Duncan Brannon. Oh, so that's it, huh?
Man, I'm going to put Duncan Brannon out of a job.
Exactly. I find that to be just the worst. The, what do you got?
I got Art Griego's on the phone. I don't know if you want to talk to him.
No, I don't. I'm already done.
Yeah, but Mr. Hall.
Oh, will you give me a break? Yeah, David.
Hey, listen, Art Griego, you were talking about airline safety. Art Griego's on the phone. I said, all right, why don't you get on there? I think it'd be a very interesting segment.
Yeah, the only problem is I'm done talking about it.
All right, well, now start talking about it again.
Put him up. You know, one of these days...
Yeah, what?
One of these days, I'm not going to have a sense of humor, but Art Griego on the line. Art, how you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Hey, okay, you
here? Art, nice to talk to you. It's Phil Hendry.
Okay, Phil, I want to talk about the... oh, boy.
Get David. David? Hey, David.
Yeah?
He's drunk.
Oh, no, he's not. I said, I think Jody's with him. Get some coffee in him. Tell him to get some coffee into him.
What do you mean, tell him to get... You got me on the air with this guy.
Get some coffee into the guy.
Hey, Art. Hey, buddy. It's Phil.
Hey, Phil. I was calling for this Mr. Hall to talk about airplane. And I think you... Did you?
Did I what?
Did you call me?
No, I did not call you. I think you called David.
No, that's right.
Yeah, he called me.
Why do I have him on the air when he's hammered?
Because he happens to be our go-to guy on airline stuff.
I'm done talking about airline stuff.
I know. And now you got to talk about it some more, because we got the go-to guy. And the fact is, he's buying drinks. So
get rid of... Get him out of here.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't do that.
Okay, Art, it's Phil, Art.
Yeah. Hey, Phil, listen. Did you know that, that when I was flying commercial aircraft, that I never, ever wore my seatbelt?
You never wore your seatbelt?
Never. Well, maybe a couple.
What did you want to talk about?
What?
What did you call up, or what did they call you, or why are you on the air? Why are you with me?
Collision. I came really close one time. I almost ran into a guy.
Okay. Great talking to you, man.
Okay, Phil.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Are you driving?
No, I'm at home.
Why am I hearing an automobile in the background?
Well, I mean, Joey's driving, but then I was at home.
Okay, thank you very much. Is he kidding or what?
Get him on the air.
He ain't no airline contributor when he's in that state. Good thing he wasn't flying. Or was he? Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here in our News and Information Hour. Thank you!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you want to come over and have some wings? Wings and beer? It's pretty good.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and online at philhendryshow.com. Episode number, I haven't even mentioned the podcast, episode 14 of the free Phil Hendry podcast was out as of Friday, so you got to head over, go to the banner on our homepage, it says the new podcast, that's the banner, hit that banner, takes you to our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast. And you'll enjoy it. And episode 14 is out. And let's see, what else do I have to say about it? And that's all I have to say. But it's cool. And
but what's in it?
Well, this episode features, we've got actually three marvelous bits, but this one features the Margaret Gray bit, That Ain't Cucumber Dressing.
Man, that's the best bit of all.
Yeah, it's a good bit. So that's on episode 14. And episode number 15 is out on Monday. So we've had... kind of jammed these two together because of the holiday weekend. All right, I was talking, see, if you look at this beard, those of you watching Phil TV, I have a goatee, but I was twisting my mustache up into a handlebar look.
Yeah, you go ahead and get some handlebar wax.
Handlebar wax, huh?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I go ahead and get some mustache wax, and I turn this into a essentially what I'll look like is the old, the late great, and I mean great, play-by-play guy for the Oakland Raiders, Bill King, who had a handlebar mustache and this kind of Van Dyke Lucifer goatee, which I don't exactly have. But And that got us to, you know, talking about being diehard fans of different teams. And
yeah, you got all quiet about that, didn't you?
I got quiet because I haven't been a diehard fan of a team. I haven't had season tickets for a team since the Rams left town. That's how long it's been for me to give a damn about anybody or anything. I mean, I care. But there's only one way of being a diehard fan, and that's going to their games.
What about on TV?
Well, yeah, I guess. But for me, the only way I can get into a team is if I'm going to their games and I'm physically there and I'm interacting in the sweat and the screaming and the emotion of the event. And I just don't have the time, man. So when people say to me, well, you know, Phil, are you a diehard fan of a team? I say, well, I've probably outgrown that. But it really isn't that I've outgrown it. It's that I don't have the time. And I don't live in the close proximity to the stadiums like I used to. I live outside of L.A. about 40 miles. That's just, I'm just talking about Los Angeles. But for those of you who are wherever you live and you are far enough away from, say, the physical plant where the teams play their games, you know, it's all about either watching it on TV or you are just sort of, you know.
You're like a casual fan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, who do you like?
Well, Bud, what team you like?
I like the Oakland Raiders and the L.A. Raiders, too.
Same team.
They're the same team, man.
How do you figure that?
Because it's the same team.
Wait, what do you mean? What, one was in L.A.
It was the same team playing in two different cities.
All right.
Why is this so hard?
Well, you don't understand, man. They lived in Oakland, then they come out down to L.A.
They lived in Oakland, then they come down?
Yes, they were in Oakland. What, do you think they were formed in L.A.?
I don't know.
Like the Dodgers. Where were the Dodgers before they came to L.A.?
I don't know.
Brooklyn, New York.
That's where the Nets play.
That's where the Nets play, yeah. But the Dodgers were in, you know, there used to be a lot of teams in Brooklyn, not just the Dodgers. They had football teams, all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. That I know the Nets play there. The New Jersey Nets, that's a pretty good marketing move, to be perfectly honest. I like that move a lot. All right. Let me see what else we have to talk about here. We mentioned Chuck E. Cheese. All right, so that's it. We got the Chuck E. Cheese out of the way, man. We are beautiful. There's no more news. That's it. Forget it. Anyway, just want to remind you that we have episode number 14 of our podcast. And, of course, we'll have another one on Monday. And, of course, you can visit us at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And get a backstage pass. Hit us up in the shop, too. We have the new Teds of Beverly Hills download. This is 12 or 13 of the greatest Ted Bell bits ever, available there for you in one fell swoop. So you just go in, download the whole thing, man. You ain't waiting for anybody to mail you nothing. You just boom, you know. And, of course, we take all the major credit cards, and we take PayPal as well. In a couple of weeks, all of our media will be available on your iPhone and your iPad. So your Apple product will, we will support media for your Apple product. That'll be in a couple of weeks. We're excited about that, as well as now you have the ability to download our podcast on your mobile phone. As far as all of the information on traffic, fatalities, and stuff this weekend, I hope you guys will drive carefully. I was trying to find out exactly what the stats were, because we were looking at some old 4th of July. You know, people in this country were killing each other.
Yeah, they had a... I've seen one up there, Bob Bacon up there, maybe we can get him, but I saw one where they had 272 or something like that, people what died.
Well, hold on, is Bob Bacon on the line? Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey.
Bob?
Hey, Phil, how you doing? It's Bob Bacon. I'm just giving a preliminary report here from the metropolitan area, and I just got a call from Bud Dickman and asked me to do that, so...
Are you not in the chopper, are you?
No, those are automobiles that are going by me, so those are airplanes, but we are halfway between San Francisco Bay Area and Los Angeles area, and we've been around the country today looking at traffic, and it seems to be moving very, very smoothly. Bob Bacon, brought it.
All right, Bob, thank you. I didn't understand one word of that.
No, but it sounds cool.
Well, that is true. Bob Bacon, you don't understand him, but he sounds bitchin'. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Neil West, Dan Northcraft, and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com, as we mentioned, for a live streaming video of our show. All you got to do is get a backstage pass, and you're in, baby. You're in. You are free. You are free. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will rejoin you and yours on Monday at 10 Pacific, 1 a.m. Tuesday morning on the East Coast. Until then, Phil Henry.
Bob Dickman. Robert Leonard.
Let that be a lesson for you. Wow.
Talk, bud.
Phil Henry.